We're glad to be sharing the ministry of Redemption Church with you. Now join us as we receive the Word of God.
Redemption Church, it is great to see you all in the house of God today. My name is Marshall Blessing. I'm the care pastor here. Today is a wonderful day. I am excited. Today's going to be great. We are talking about party people. Last week, Pastor Chris talked about how our relationship with God should be a cause to rejoice. Our faith life should be a celebration. Christians should be party people. Amen? Amen. If you missed Pastor Chris's message last week, check it out. It's posted on our website. It's good. Check that out. Share it with somebody. So, we're supposed to be party people, all right? In some ways, church is supposed to be like a party. So, what's a party without party games? We had fun with it last time. I brought back Bible Lotto. And if you missed it, this is basically an ancient game of Bible trivia. Back in 1933, they expected Sunday school kids to be able to answer these questions. So, to get us all warmed up and ready to party, let's do a couple of these. If you know the answer, just shout it out, and I'll be surprised. Okay, here's an easy one starting off. How many books are in the Old Testament? Not all at once. How many? 39. I heard somebody say, yeah, excellent work. All right. We're off to a great start. Yeah. Maybe I picked a bad way to get us up and going. Oh, this one's good. Some of these are worded interestingly. This one just says, David's chum. Jonathan. Yeah. Excellent work, Mr. Upchurch. Here you go. All right. You guys ready? Get your brain working. The home of Dorcas. Don't say it all at once. Joppa. Joppa the hut. And speaking of Joppa, with whom did Peter live at Joppa? That's who we went to go visit. Simon the Tanner. Yes, I heard it. Excellent work. What did God create on the fifth day? Can you be more specific? Fish and? Yeah, excellent work. I would have also accepted stuff. And here's one more. Who was not willing to give up his riches to follow Christ? The rich young man. Yes. Excellent work. His name was Steve. No, we don't know that. What congregation meets at 903 West Parker Road on Sunday afternoons? Redemption. Excellent work. Good. All right. I'm glad we knew that one. That's a good one. Good work. We need to know our Bible. It's important. There's good stuff to learn in there. The home of Dorcas. How can you go a day without knowing where that was? I want to talk to you today about the church, about redemption, and about doors. All right? So, all right, we are supposed to be talking about party people, not those doors. I want to talk to you about different doors. I want to talk to you about the King of Kings, not the Lizard King. So, first, let's back up and focus on the church, all right? It has been said before, but it bears repeating. The building is not the church. People are the church. Amen? Turn to somebody and tell them, you are the church. You are the church. Amen. That's right. We got to keep that in mind. The building is where the church meets. The building is one place the party happens. This is church. The church is here today. But you're still the church when you leave. You're still the church when you're at work or at school or at the mall or home with your family. And if you're watching this online, wherever you're at, the church is there also. The church can be anywhere. We move from place to place when we gather on Wednesday nights for Connect Group because the church can be anywhere. And since we're talking about how church should be like a party, how church should be a celebration, the party can be anywhere. All right. Now, when you're young, or at least when I was young, you're always trying to find where's the party at? Where's the good party? Hey, man, have you heard anything going on tonight? Where's the party? Where should we go? Good parties were exclusive. They were hidden. You had to find them. Not everybody knew about them. God's party isn't like that. God's party can be anywhere. To quote the great theologians Martha and the Vandellas, it's an invitation across the nation, a chance for folks to meet. Every guy, grab a girl, everywhere, around the world, they'll be dancing in the street. Or perhaps might be more appropriate to quote the psalmist, Psalm 100, verse 1, make a joyful noise to the Lord. If you're in this one little specific location. No. Make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth, everywhere. The party should be everywhere. God himself brought the party from heaven to earth. He sent angels to announce it with glad tidings of great joy. He made it accessible. Last week we talked about our mission, the great commission. Our mission is to take it with us, to spread it, to bring others along, to bring others into this party, this celebration that we know. God doesn't want this to be an isolated, exclusive thing. God wants everyone at his party. Amen? Amen. Jesus talked about it. He told a parable. In Luke's gospel, Jesus tells us a parable about a man throwing a great banquet, a party. And he sends out his servants to bring the people that were invited. And one by one, they come back with the people's excuses. I'm not going to be able to make it. I just did this and that, and it just falls at a bad time. I'm sorry. Well, the guy throwing the party wasn't satisfied. He said, no, go find some people. Bring them in. I want this party to be full. So they went out, and they found people, and they brought them. They searched high and low, and they brought those people in. But then he said, no, we still got room. I want this place packed out. Go search the highways and the byways. Bring whoever you can get. I want this party filled up. That's God's party. He wants everyone to be there. He wants it to be full. This is a picture of how God wants heaven to be. He wants everyone to be there. If a party's good, then you want to bring people to it, right? In this case, you can bring the party to them, all right? How do we do that? Look for doors. I told you the church is not a building, but it still has doors. These doors can be anywhere. Our memory verse this month talks about it. If we look at Colossians chapter 4, verse 3, and pray for us also that God may open a door for our message, so that we may proclaim the mystery of Christ, for which I am in chains. Look for opportunities to share your faith with people. Look for moments when they are open to receiving the good news of Jesus Christ. Look for opportunities to bring people into this party. Wherever your life touches someone else's life, there could be a door there. It may not be open at first, but wait, be patient, watch, pray for an open door. Sometimes you have to knock. There's a comedian named Mitch Hedberg. He's the late, great Mitch Hedberg. He has passed away, but he was sort of a spacey comedian. He told a joke, which I think is relevant here. He said he used to play his music too loud. And when he did, his neighbor in the next apartment would bang on the wall. And he liked to mess with his neighbor. So he would go over to the wall and he'd shout, "Go around! There's no door on this side." Look for doors, all right? You gotta knock where there's a door. Jesus is our example. He is what we're supposed to be like. Amen? Well, Jesus knocks. Walter White said, "I am the one who knocks." Let me tell you, Jesus knocks. In Revelation chapter 3, verse 20, Jesus says, "Here I am. I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with him and him with me." I love this picture of Jesus, that he stands patiently and knocks and waits for someone to open the door to him. And he tells us to knock. Matthew 7:7, "Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you." Sometimes a door may not open unless you knock. So it's always worth a try. When your life is in connection with somebody else's, there could be a door there. Give it a knock. Give it a test. Live out your faith there. See if they ask you about it. How do we knock? Just in the way we live, in the way we approach people, the way we live out our faith in a visible way. Colossians chapter 4, verse 6, "Let your conversation be always full of grace, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how to answer everyone." That's one way to knock. Be ready to share your faith at any moment. Jesus knew how to spot an open door. You can see it throughout the Gospels. When Nicodemus came to him at night, that was an open door. When he met the Samaritan woman at the well, that was an open door. When he met the man who was lame by the pool of Bethesda, that was an open door. And whenever Jesus saw an open door, he went and shared the good news with them. Our objective is to find an open door. Sometimes we have to take the initiative. Sometimes we have to knock. Sometimes we have to build a door. Anglican priest and abolitionist John Newton, who wrote Amazing Grace, famously said, "People are lonely because they build walls instead of bridges." If I could modify that slightly, I would say, people are lonely because they build walls, but they don't build doors. Wherever your life meets someone else's, there can be a door there. Be intentional. Develop relationships with people. Reach out to them. If you see somebody week after week at the grocery store, at your favorite restaurant, learn their name. Say hi to them. Get to know them. It's really tough to have a meaningful conversation with someone if you don't know them, if you don't even know their name. So be intentional about the way you interact with people. Open, build doors. It may not be open right now, but we want those relationships. We want places, those interfaces where we might be able to share the gospel at some point. There's an example of this in 2 Kings chapter 4, verse 8, with the prophet Elisha. One day, Elisha went to Shunem, and a well-to-do woman was there who urged him to stay for a meal. So whenever he came by, he stopped there to eat. Now, he literally found an open door. Here was this woman who said, "Hey, you're a prophet. Why don't you come in and have a meal?" So he went right through it. All right. And whenever he passed by, he would stop there. So this woman talked to her husband, and they decided, well, let's build a little room for this prophet. He seems to stop by here quite often. So they built a room for him to stay when he was passing by. In a way, they literally built a door for him to this room. But at the same time, he built a door into their lives spiritually. He came to them and asked, "What can be done for you? What can I do? You've shown me this kindness. You've done these nice things for me. What can I do for you?" And the woman was unable to have children, and she mentioned this, and he said, "Well, you know what? God is powerful. I serve a powerful God. He can give you children." And God did. God blessed this woman, this couple, with a child. God demonstrated his love through Elisha, because Elisha built a door to talk to these people, to relate to them, and to show them how wonderful God is. Be intentional about everything you do. You can build doors in unexpected ways. I wear this belt buckle for a reason, because it looks cool, but also because it starts conversations. People see it and they say, "Hey, that's an interesting belt buckle. Are you Jewish?" And I say, "No. But I wear it to remind me to pray for Israel. There's a lot going on in that region, and it's a good reminder to me." I say, "No, I'm a Christian. I go to Redemption Church." It starts a conversation. It opens a door where I can talk to them about our faith. I can invite them to church. You can build doors in all different ways in your life. So be mindful of that. Be intentional about the things that you do. Everything you do can build doors. Again, going back to our memory verse, Colossians 4, verse 5. Be wise in the way you act toward outsiders. Make the most of every opportunity. You can watch football with your friends, or you can also be building doors. You can eat lunch with your coworkers, or you can also be building doors. You can go through life alongside other people and never have a meaningful conversation with them. Or you can build doors into their life. Make the most of every opportunity. The King James Version of the Bible translates that last phrase as redeem the time. It's better to redeem your time than to waste it. I waste a lot of time. But Every once in a while, I'm mindful enough to redeem some of that time, some of my time, some of the time God has blessed me with, and use it to build his kingdom, to build doors. Sometimes we invite people over to play board games at our house. It's not fancy. We like to play a board game that has to do with zombies. It's fun, and people like it. I like it, but as we're playing this board game, we're not just planning a strategy of how we're going to survive the zombie apocalypse. We're building doors. We invite friends from church. We invite friends who don't have a church home. And sometimes faith comes up in the conversation. And it's good. We want to bring those people into our life and into our faith life. We try to redeem that time in our life and in theirs. We are Redemption Church. That should be what we're all about. Redeeming the time. But you need to be ready for when you see that open door. When you see that door open, you need to be ready to step through. Because you have to step through. Now, as I'm talking about these doors, these aren't the doors of the church. These are doors to places where the party still needs to go. When someone opens one of those doors, that's your chance to take this celebration of Jesus to them. Be bold. Again, Jesus is our example. Here I am. I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with him and him with me. Jesus doesn't just stand there and knock, and when the door opens, yay, let's move on. No, he goes in. When you see an open door, you need to step through. Be bold. If you're excited about this God that we serve, be bold about it. Be excited. He's worth celebrating. Bring the party to these people that don't know about it yet. It doesn't matter if you develop a relationship with someone and live a joyful, moral Christian life alongside them, if they never hear about Jesus Christ and the salvation he offers. If they don't hear that message, they'll miss out. They'll never get to be part of the party. When they give you an opportunity, you need to tell them the good news. When the door opens, go for it. Back to our memory verse, Colossians 4, verse 4. Pray that I may proclaim it clearly, as I should. Pray that I may proclaim it clearly. I would ask all of you, pray that I may proclaim this message clearly in the lives of people around me. I pray that you would be able to proclaim this message clearly in the lives of people around you. That's how we should proclaim it. Paul says, pray that I would proclaim it as I should. Let me tell you how you should proclaim it. You should do it. Share it. Speak this message of salvation to people. Do it as clearly as you can. But if the words never leave your mouth, that's not clear. A lot of times we think, well, I can just live out my faith and people will see that and understand what Christianity is. It's good to live out your faith, but it's not enough. People won't know unless you tell them, unless you share that message with them. So proclaim it clearly, as we should. When you step through that door, you're not leaving the party. You're taking the party into a new place. You're going from the party to the party. Now, how is that possible? Well, here's the weird thing. here's part of the mystery. Jesus is the door. In John chapter 10, verse 9, Jesus says, "I am the door. If anyone enters through me, he will be saved and will go in and come out and find pasture." Jesus could spot an open door from a mile away. Jesus was the master of spotting these open doors. Jesus built doors wherever he went. Jesus built a huge door in the form of the cross. But above all else, Jesus is the door. Jesus is the way to God. He opened that door to us. By looking for these open doors and stepping through them to share the gospel, you are bringing Jesus into your life as well as into other people's lives. We want them to enter the party. We want them to enter into faith in Jesus Christ. But when we step through that door to reach out to them, we grow in our faith as well. Remember how we can redeem the time. Well, in this way, Jesus can redeem our whole lives. Any moment in our life can be used to build his kingdom, to open doors, to spread the gospel, to bring him to new people, to bring new people to faith in him, to spread this celebration, this party. If you love Jesus, look for him. Look for those doors. Look for an open door. Pray for them. That's how our memory verse starts. Pray that God may open a door for our message. And when you see those open doors, step through. Be bold. Bring Jesus Christ more fully into your life and into the lives of other people. It's a wonderful thing. At the end of service every week, we invite everyone to come forward, to step out from where you're at, gather at the front, and talk to God. These altars are open. I invite you to all come, talk to God. If you don't have anything to pray about this week, I'd ask you, pray for me. Pray that God would open doors in my life.
Thank you for joining us. For more information about Redemption, look us up online at redemption-church.com. And be sure to connect with us on Facebook and Twitter.